The message I've felt called to lead or to share this morning is a message on grace. I think it's something that it does us good to look at. God's grace that He gives to us. And I'd like to share a message on that this morning. Maybe I'd start out by sharing, what is grace? What is grace? What does it mean to you? Maybe I'd open it up and I'd hear if you have what your thoughts are. What do you think of when you think of grace? Does anybody have anything they'd like to share?
Chance of eternal life.
Very good. Chance of eternal life, even though I don't deserve it. I heard one, it put this way one time. Grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's redemption at Christ's expense. It's a good way to remember what grace is. Grace has also been called the unmerited favor of God, and that is very true as well. We didn't deserve it. It was brought out, and as Andy shared that explanation of grace. So we can say it's like a gift. I believe we can look at it that way. It's a gift that's bestowed upon us that we don't deserve. We were at the wedding yesterday of Denny Indiana. I had to have the devotional. And we were planning on being at the wedding anyhow. Got up and shared a few verses, shared some words of encouragement to the couple. But we got to the reception. They said, make sure that if you had part, that you take that gift that's over there on the table. I don't feel like I deserve it. We say sometimes talk is cheap, you know, and you can... Yeah, we all are gifted with that. We can stand and talk. And so I felt like it was something I didn't deserve, but they gave a gift. And think about that as grace. God is handing it to you. It's a gift. We don't deserve it. There is nothing we can do to deserve this gift. But that's grace. God extends it to us. This grace is the redemption that God gives to us for our sins. You can turn in your Bibles to Psalms 84, verse 11. We're going to look at some aspects of grace to start out here in the message. So what are some aspects of this grace? Psalms 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. I'd like to pull out of here that this grace that God gives to us, as the psalmist writer was writing here, God will give it. It is freely given to us. But there's a little clause in there for this grace to be freely given. We must walk uprightly. Walk uprightly. We're promised grace. We're promised God's gift to us is grace. But we have to walk upright in heart. We could turn into Acts as we think of this grace freely given. We could look at the early church and the many passages in there Let's just turn to a number of them. Acts chapter 11. As we think of the early church and the grace given to them, we can see the grace of God at work in the early church by the writers of Acts. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. Who, when he came, they sent Barnabas, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. He saw the grace of God in their life. In this early church. Turn with me to Acts 13, verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. They were walking in Christ's redemption. It made a change in their life. So this grace is freely given to us. If we just turn our lives over to God and accept this gift of grace. The second aspect of grace. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I'd like to pull out another aspect of grace, and that is that it empowers men. It empowers men. It gives them power and enablement to go and be of service to God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Paul had the humility here. I'm nothing without God's grace. We see that as we too reach out and accept God's grace in our lives. We need this humility. The humility that when I leave a witness for Christ, when I'm of service to Christ's kingdom, it's not I, but it's God. It's who I'm serving. And I'm laboring in but a small way to repay that. Another aspect of grace. We touched on this a little bit, but I think we can strengthen it a little more. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. We touched on the humility that we need to have to accept this grace. 1 Peter 5, verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. God is in opposition of pride. He cannot tolerate it. So we must be humble to accept this grace. One more aspect of grace. Turn with me back to Galatians 2. Galatians chapter 2. And I'd like to pull out one more aspect of grace. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21. As Paul is writing to the church of Galatia there, he says this in verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We can frustrate the grace of God. How can we do that? By living lives that we can, thinking that we can do something of our own selves, that we merit God's grace. It frustrates the grace of God to realize that we think we can do it of our own somehow. To think, as it says here in verse 21, for if righteousness come by the law, if it's something we can do, if there's some law we can make that if you keep this, then you're saved. But no, it's God's grace that we are saved. Another aspect of grace is it can be rendered ineffectual by thinking that we can do it on our own. That was a long introduction to where I want to pull my message from this morning. But you can turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter 3. This is the passage where as I think of this grace, and if you study into Peter's letters, and the as we go into 1 Peter, and he talks much about the grace of God and the sufficiency of God's grace and how it can bring about salvation, submission, suffering, and we can go through all that by the grace of God. And as we go into 2 Peter here, the grace would have a lot. He talks about grace and has much to do with assurance and spiritual growth and growing in grace. And that's what we'd like to look at this morning, is growing in grace. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let me ask you this question. How important was it for you to grow? If we didn't grow, we'd be in our parents' arms yet. It's important that a child grows when they're born. There's a concern if there's no growth. To the Christian, how important was it to you when you repented of your past? How important was it to you when you first believed? I say that because this command here that Peter is giving us, but grow in grace. We say, well, we needed to repent. We must believe. It's a command in the Bible. It's there. We must believe it, or we must adhere to it and do it. But I like to say, it's just as important that we grow in grace. I'd like to also say that it's something that should not be difficult to do. You don't think about it every day that I need to grow. Okay? It just happens if everything is right in life. This command to grow is the same way. As you live your life for Christ, it should not be something difficult to do. To grow into grace. It happens as we live the Christian life. But where there's life, there's growth. How's our spiritual life? Is there life there? Are we growing? Are we feeding on God's Word so that we can grow? This grow is in the present tense. It's happening today, as Peter was writing here. But grow in grace today. It's a present tense. Like to say, along with that, today, every day of your life, we either be growing spiritually or growing cold in our hearts. So is there something that we can look at to see once whether I'm growing? How do I know if I'm growing in this grace? 2 Peter again. As he's talking about grace, if we go back to chapter 1, I think we'll take the time to read these verses. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 to 11. I think this is a test that we can know whether we're growing in grace or not. 2 Peter 1, verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what are some ways in here? I didn't pull all of them out, but I got a couple that I'd like to ways that we can tell whether we're growing in grace. The first one I have, unfruitful in his life. When we're unfruitful in our Christian life, there's no fruit of living a Christian life. We want to blend in with the world. We want to live like the world. We don't have the faith. We don't have the virtue. And we don't have the knowledge of God. We don't have godliness in our life. We're unfruitful. We don't have the fruit of that in our lives. When we don't see that, we can be concerned. How is our life? Are we growing in faith, in virtue of God? Can those about us see us that we are growing in grace? Another one I pulled out of here. Another way that we can tell. He lacks spiritual insight. He's blind. Verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is blind. He's blind. Spiritually blind. He's forgetful of what God has done for him. And the list can go on. There's many more that we can pull out of there. Let the Spirit speak in your life. Where am I at? Where are you at in our growing in grace? going back to 2 Peter 3, verse 18, 17. I'd like to read verse 17. I'd like to think for a little bit here, as we think of grace, and what is the opposite of that? What's the opposite of growing in grace? We said we can tell, there's some ways that we can tell when a Christian is not growing. What's the opposite of that? And I think verse 17 here has some of that as well. The opposite of growth. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I think it has some, the opposite of growing in grace here as well. The first one I like to pull out of this verse here is they're led away. Led away. To be led away is to well, when you lead something, you're in control of it. You walk ahead and it follows behind. It's under the strong influence that the person ahead of it is in control of it. And it's going to follow. This led away. If we go the opposite of growing in grace, I believe that's one of the downfalls that happens. We are led away with men. We start looking to men and not to God. You can see an example of that in Galatians 2:13 as Peter and the Jews and Barnabas, there was should have looked this up again. But there was as they were carried away. Let's turn to that. Galatians chapter 2. Can't pull those thoughts up right now, what I wanted to bring out of there. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. They got carried away in the thing of the moment. There was evil influence in there. And they got carried away in it. We're not any different today. We too can get led away and led astray from God. We must follow God and not men. The church is needed. The church is a pillar. That's a message of its own, of the need to be involved in church life. But finally, brothers and sisters, we can't just follow the church. Being a church member is not enough. Following somebody, a leader in the church, is not enough. But we need to follow God. So we aren't led away. Another opposite of growth that I see in verse 17 here. Error. Led away with the error. What is the error that they're talking about here? The error of the wicked. The false doctrine that can come in. Or men whose morals aren't where they should be. We say, well, that's out there in the world. Brothers and sisters, we're bombarded with it on every side. You go to these places that say gospel bookstore. They can explain about everything away in the Bible. Men that twist the scriptures. I'm speaking to myself as well. Tell a little story. I was sitting in my study one day. I got a good number of study books. And there was one book that I used. It's a commentary that said King James on it. I've always relied on it pretty strongly, and I don't remember quite where it was. I know I marked it in that commentary, but as I was studying one time through there, something as I was reading it didn't quite ring clear to me. And so Brother Harry was there that day. It was a Sunday morning as I was just running through that again, and I just went out and asked him about it, and I said, this don't ring clear. It doesn't seem right. And he said, yeah, that's in the circles out there. They don't want to look at it. They don't want to draw too hard and a fast line in the scripture on that. And it made me sit up and take notice. And I'd like to pass that challenge on. This is truth. This is right. There is no errors in this. Be careful. Of the doctrines that are about us, the false doctrines that can creep in through books. Yes, there's a lot of study and devotional books that are good. But be careful. Don't let it take the place of the Bible. The error of the wicked. There's much about us that we can fall into that can cause us to go astray. So what is another opposite that oppose this growth? Things that pull away from this growth. I'd like to look at the word wicked. Wicked. Who are wicked men in your mind? As I studied into this, I came across this, and that's why I wanted to bring this out. Wicked also has the idea of unprincipled men. And it goes on to say, people not living according to the law. People living without principles. Is the law important? What about, and maybe I'm speaking too direct this morning on some of this. What about the fads and fashions that creep into the church? Things that are on the borderline of our decrees. Can we say, when we were accepted into the church, we acknowledge that we would live by the decrees, and it puts it into the law? Can we say it's part of this law? It's a guide to keep us there. I believe there's reason for concern. And it works against growth when we're walking on that fine line of the decrees. Where are we at in our walk? How far are we willing to get away from that fence? that's there for us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. I'd like to pull out this verse as we think about these wicked men. As Peter was writing here, he went back to Lot and delivered just Lot, vexed with a filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot was oppressed by the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. But today, without God's grace in our lives, we are no different. Without God's grace in our lives, we turn to that. To the wicked. About us that are vexing us. Very important that we grow in grace. Another opposite of this growth that we see that comes in this verse, and that is in the fall from your own steadfastness. We wither and die with the seasons. The same is true for us today. As we think of the fall of the year, as the leaves fall down, as they wither and die. For us today, if we get apart from God's word, we wither and die. We fall for the wrong influences that are about us. Where are we at? Are we staying close to God's word? Last part of the message, I'd like to look at more positive things. Signs of growth. Signs of growth. Growing in grace. And I'd like to pull. I know we went back to 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, and we brought in some signs already, but I'd like to look at some that are in verse 18. Some signs that we can have. First one I have is growing in Christ-like character. In the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Growing in Christ-like character. Conforming to Christ. Gaining more knowledge of what He is and what He means to us. And how He lived on this world, on this earth. Growing in the fruit of the Spirit. We have that in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. We know that very well. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That was Christ and His character brought all them out. Are we growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? As we grow in Christ's character, I'd like to look at some responses that this brings out. Growing in Christ-like is going to affect your response to those about us. Turn with me to Matthew 5, 41. Bring this part out. As we think of growing in Christ-like character and His responses. Matthew chapter 5. We know this is a Sermon on the Mount. I'd like to read verse 41. Does this just happen? I don't believe it does. Verse 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Think about this response. The first mile in their time was a demanded mile. They must go that. But the second mile was the grace mile. It went beyond what they were asked to. It went beyond what they were demanded to do. How would church life be? How would our relationship with one another in the home, in the school, no matter where it is, if we'd always go the second mile? Giving grace and looking past ourselves and giving to one another in this way. You know, Christ-like response. This grace would have us to go the second mile. It's a sign of growth when we can do that. To grow in this Christ-like character. Another one I pulled from 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge. And I'd like to look at this word knowledge a little more. This, as we look at Christ's character and growing in His knowledge. How do you grow in knowledge? Well, as children, we go to school. Or we learn from our parents that tell us things. And I brought this out before a little bit, but in Christ-like, growing in grace of God and in the Christ-like knowledge, we too must be infiltered with God's Word. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Digging into God's Word. Do we have a desire for it? Do we have a hunger for it? Acts 20:32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Growing in God's word, in the knowledge of God. How would God have me to handle this? What should we do in this situation? Put whatever it is in there. What does the Scripture say? What did I read for my devotions back there? What have I heard that God would have me? Growing in His knowledge. It'll help us grow in grace on a daily basis. Growing, the next one I have is signs of growth. Growing in Christ-like speech. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. I'd like to turn to that. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. We see the need of grace in our speech. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Doesn't matter how we speak to those about us. Doesn't matter how we talk to them. It does. It does. Is our speech that we're talking, the words we speak, are they with grace? Are they seasoned with salt that they're building somebody up? Or are we tearing down? It's a sign of growth in of grace in our life when we can always speak those things that are building to the body of Christ. I'd also like to look at the next one, growing in Christ-like trust. So we look at Christ's character and being able to grow in His trust. And we think of this being a sign of growth. I think my mind goes to Jesus as He went to the cross and was there. It's actually in the Garden of Gethsemane. As he said in Luke 22, verse 42, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." The trust he placed in his Father. As he went through the trial of his life, as the cross was before him, "God, you brought this into my life. If there'd be another way around it, he would do it. Not my will, but thy will be done." Have you ever got to that place in your life? Have you ever got to the place where you wondered how you could go on? Why did this have to come into my life? Where's our trust in Jesus, in our Father? Are we willing to trust Him with your life for every aspect of your life? The last one I have, growing in Christ-like witnessing. Who did Jesus witness to? We can think of many of them. There was the woman at the well. There was the one that was, she had many husbands. Can we say the ones that were looked down on in those times? Jesus witnessed to her. Zacchaeus. He was a hated tax collector. Hated of most men. Jesus witnessed to him. Think of all the lowly that Jesus witnessed to. The challenge comes to me. Am I willing to go witness to the whole world? Am I willing to see a soul in somebody that has tattoos all over, has many other things that we look on as a Mennonite in our upbringing and we say that's disgusting? But do we see the soul? Are we willing to witness as Jesus did? Today, we too can touch people's lives with God's grace. Tell them of God's redemption that's there for them. What He has done in your life. So the question comes to us this morning. Have I applied God's grace to my heart? Am I living a life that shows God's grace in my heart? And are we growing in our walk with God? What's the signs of growth in our life? Let us kneel for prayer.